You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we'll be closing our current series called Unchanging. If ever you missed out, the first two installments is a three-part series. We've been going through this series called Unchanging. It's basically a faith series that's designed to help us strengthen our faith through learning that different circumstances and ways can help strengthen our faith, no matter what the circumstance is, whether that be a good circumstance or a time of difficulty in our lives. Both those things can strengthen our faith. And throughout this series, for us to do that, we've been looking into the life of this one man, si Isaac. How many of you are familiar with Isaac? The promised son of Abraham, katong son gina-wait ni Abraham for the longest time, for over like 20 to 25 years. That guy, si Isaac. And just a quick recap of what we've been through over the past few weeks. In the first week, we talked about his birth. And that time now, when he was about to be sacrificed by his dad, the Abraham, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac right away. We talked about how those things greatly formed the faith in Isaac. And last week naman, we talked about obedience and blessing, where there's this one story in the life of Isaac na much like his father, you know, when there was this famine, he did something, but because of his fear, he almost disobeyed God, but good thing God intervened, and still, he was blessed because of it. And we've learned greatly from that last week. Now, for this week naman, we're going to look at the third part of the story of Isaac, where we're going to look into his twilight years, katong mga way past senior years na niya. Not his birth, not katong bata-bata ba siya, but katong later years na niya. We're going to look at him and when he was about to pass the baton or the blessing, basically, of being a patriarch. Because Isaac is basically the second patriarch or the second man in line, kang Abraham, to inherit the covenant blessings promised to his father Abraham. So God made a covenant to his father Abraham, three blessings worth, okay, three kinds of blessings to his father Abraham. And Isaac inherited all of that. Kung sa covenant ni God, kang Abraham, Isaac would get that as well. And now he's about to pass that blessing, pass on that covenant to one of his sons, to his next heir. And that's what we're going to look at here today for this week, the passing on of this blessing. What happened, what we can learn from the life of Isaac, his mistakes, the lessons as well, and as well as his family members. We're going to look into that. And for that, I'm not going to have a specific one passage lang. We're going to be looking at two chapters here today, Genesis 25 and Genesis 27. Now, we won't go through every verse. We will look at big chunks of these two chapters, Genesis 25 and 27, for us to get the big picture of that part of Isaac's life when he was about to pass that blessing. Before we get to the story of Isaac, getting third installment nato, anyone here, you're fond of mga teleserye? There's one thing that you tend to realize on some of our common Filipino teleseries, TV shows, or for those of you who are not Filipino, that a lot of times, ang theme sa mga teleseries sa Pinoy is about family. But it's always a feud in the family, nag-away, may long-lost anak. I mean, there's so much stuff about the family. And differently packaged, differently titled, but a lot of them involves the family. Now, I'm saying that because the story that we're going to look in today involves family. It greatly involves the family of Isaac. We're going to look at each of those family members, the roles that they played, their mistakes, and we're going to learn from them. So not just kang Isaac strictly lang. Firstly, let's take a look at the family of Isaac. This is the family. Isaac, Rebecca, and their two sons, si Jacob and si Esau. Why do we need to look at their family? Before we get to the actual passing of that blessing, we need to take a look at the setup muna of what their family dynamic was like and what was it like for the life of Isaac as a family man. Now in chapter 25, verse 21, it says here, Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, much like his mother, Sarah, before she conceived of Isaac, young wife Rebecca was barren. Meaning for a long time, they could not have kids. They didn't have any kids for a long time. And the Lord granted his prayer and Rebecca, his wife, conceived. But to the credit of Isaac and Rebecca, unlike their parents or in-laws in Rebecca's case, wala sa nag-shortcut. They didn't have another son through another method. No, they simply prayed to God. They waited on his answer. And true enough, God granted them their prayer. They had a son, or ang wife ni Isaac, she conceived. It was not just one son. It says here, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she inquired of the Lord. Na great struggle. Na fight. Mga moms, di ba? Siguro na feeling niyo, mukik inyo mga anak, siguro, di ba? Sa belly ninyo. But can you imagine in Rebecca's case, it was not just one kick na move ang baby. There was a struggle down. There was this fight now within her belly between these children. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. So God tells Rebekah and to Isaac probably as well, that there is this competition, may fight between two nations as represented by the two children within you. And one will be stronger than the other. And he says here, the older shall serve the younger. Ingon si God. And this is very important. It's a very interesting statement because in the ancient times and even up until now, actually in some cultures, we have what we call the law of primogeniture. And what this basically means is that there's this custom by law or culture that the firstborn legitimate son is to inherit his parents' entire or main estate. If you were alive, especially in their culture, in their time, in their place, if you were the firstborn, premium imo makuha. You get the double portion of the inheritance, the prime cut of everything. Basically, you're the heir to your father if you're the firstborn legitimate son. But if you go back to that verse, God says to Rebekah and to Isaac, the older shall serve the younger. In other words, God's will was for the younger son to be the heir. Contrary to common culture or to common practices, God wanted this younger son to be the next patriarch, the next man to inherit the covenant blessing to be passed down through Isaac. Now, who was this younger son? Who among them? Let's get into it. Verse 24 says here, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. So he was the firstborn. He was the older son. In verse 26, afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. Can you imagine that? When Esau was born, the next twin was born attached to him because gakopot siya sa leg ni Esau. Parang di ko pa pildi, balik dari. That's Jacob. In fact, the word Jacob, I think, means to grab. So that's Jacob holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Side note na lang, can you imagine that? They were senior citizens when they had their first sons. Kakakuha na nila discount cards sa Mercury Drugs, sa mga senior card nila, and they had the son na. So, side note lang, for those of you believing for children, praying to God for children, God can answer those seemingly impossible situations. But anyway, going with the story, verse 27, when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. So, no, grabe ka different ng duha ka anak nila Isaac and Rebecca. One was a man of the field, a wild, strong man, hairy, red-haired siya. Imagine ka ng strong, siga ng alak, that kind of man. The other one, medyo quiet lang siya. Homebody si Jacob. Cross-stitch lang siya dito, naglimpo-limpo, nagluto-luto. To differentiate them, one was strong and wild. The other was like, hi, I'm Jacob. That's the two of them, si Esau and si Jacob. Now, verse 28 describes their family dynamic right here when these two sons were born. It says here, Isaac loved Esau, the firstborn, because he ate of his game. Game there meaning the wild animals that Esau would hunt. Because again, he's a hunter. But Rebekah loved Jacob. In other words, may favoritism aning a family. The father favored the older son. The mother favored the younger son. And I'm saying this because this situation is basically a setup to the next series of events that we're going to talk about. As we talk about the passing of the blessing, it's greatly affected by their family dynamic right here. What's happening in their family? Okay, because of their favoritism. Now, before we get to the actual passing lang, important question. Why was Esau not chosen? Why was it that the younger sibling, si Jacob, ang gichoose ni God? Why him? Why not Esau? Is it because he's hairy? Parang anti-hair si God? Ano man dili si Esau ba? Well, in verse 29 to 30 of chapter 25, we get a glimpse of the kind of man that Esau was that greatly made him unsuitable for the next patriarch to becoming the next man to inherit the covenant blessings of God. There's this incident or this scenario now. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, because again, homebody si Jacob, kuyog niya yung mama niya, mama's boy siya. Kung kumaya mo luto yung mama, maaya mo siya mo luto siguro. He learned to cook and all that. Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted from hunting, from trying to hunt animals. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Now, a birthright basically means your right to inherit something from your family. And Esau said, I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Now, imagine this with me. A birthright is like your right to inherit something given to you by your family. So imagine, let's say si Matt is the next in line to the British monarchy. Siya ang next in line ni Queen Elizabeth. Imagine na lang. Siya ang long lost anak ni Queen Elizabeth. If he had a birth, that means if the queen dies, siya ang next king of England. If he was Izon, he sold his birthright, it means that he gave up that right to become the next in line to the throne. And says, adin ako ani. And Izo gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup, for food, for temporary alleviation of his hunger. Izo sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. Now, soup in itself, not sinful. I'm not saying, ay, di na kumukaw soup kay ayaw ni God. No, that's not the point. The problem here is that Izo traded his birthright to alleviate a momentary discomfort. He was a man at the moment. He sold what could have been a great destiny for him for something pleasurable. He prioritized pleasure of what something was in the moment over his destiny. In other words, gitrade niya to. Something that's worth more, something more eternal, gitrade niya for something temporal, something momentary. In other words, di siya fit a person to become the next patriarch if he has that mindset. Not just abdicating his birthright for the sake of soup, but that he also married Hittite women who serve the gods of Canaan. He married women who did not serve the God that they serve, or serve idols. If you remember, see, Abraham, before he died, one of his last acts was to get a proper wife for Isaac, because he wanted Isaac to marry a proper kind of woman, which is Rebecca, a woman of faith. And he did not want Isaac to marry from the Hittite women. But see, Esau married one of those women. And basically, he married women who serve other gods. So again, he could not be the next great patriarch. So the question here for us is that what is the bowl of soup being offered to you in exchange for your destiny? Here's the question I want to throw at us, church. You know, much like Izo, there could be a situation in your life right now na parang discomforting, painful, it's causing us great anxiety. Is there a bowl of soup that's being offered to us? A shortcut, a quick remedy, a quick fix, a temptation to alleviate something momentary in exchange for our destiny, to compromise our destinies. Is there something like that in our lives? And may we be not like Izo, who traded something so valuable over a bowl of soup. And only you can answer that. May we look at ourselves. May bowl of soup ba sa life nato? Now, let's get to the feud of what was the result of their family dynamic. It says here in Genesis chapter 27, verse 1, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, in other words, medyo blinded na siya, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out of the field and hunt game for me." In other words, hunt a wild animal. "And prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now that last line right there is pretty important, because again, if you go back two chapters, chapter 25, verse 23, who did God said would be the next patriarch or be the heir to Isaac? Kasi yun ni God. Huh? Ang younger son, di ba? Says here, the older shall serve the younger. The one to get the blessing, the one to get the prime inheritance, the covenant blessing of God, the next patriarch, it's supposed to be the younger son. But again, going back in verse 4 of chapter 27, what did Isaac say? "That my soul will bless you, that ikaw ang musunod na ako before I die." God says it's the younger, but Isaac wanted it to be the older. Again, if you remember, whom did Isaac love more? Ang firstborn, si Esau. Isaac had a stubborn plan of giving the blessing to Esau, his eldest. If this was God's way, it was God's plan, Isaac was like, "No, Esau, you know what? I choose you." "Esau, ikaw ang ganahan ako, my next in line. Iyo ganahan ni Jacob. Humbadi, mamas boy ra kaya siya. Ganahan ko ikaw. Strong ka. Brusko ka. Ikaw ganahan ako, my next in line." Isaac was stubborn with it. Again, he says here, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Siyang Esau because maya siguro muluto si Esau. Maya pagmuhant si Esau. In fact, he says, "Prepare for me delicious food." Just like his son Esau, Isaac was a slave to the moment. He was not just physically blind, but he had become short-sighted na. That he loved Esau because Esau could give him the best kind of food for him to eat, to enjoy in that moment. Contrast this with Abraham's concerns for Isaac before, when Abraham was still alive. Before Abraham would give the blessing to Isaac, what he did was that gitarong niya muna. That Isaac would get a proper wife and all that. He prepared Isaac. But for Isaac, not only did he allow Esau to get the wrong kind of wives for him, but ang para kaniya, okay na si Esau maging next patriarch because he's giving me this good food. Isaac was stubborn in his own plans that went against God's plans, and he was a slave to the moment. And the question here, again, for us church is that, is there something in our lives that we stubbornly want to happen? Is there a plan, an idea, or whatever part in our lives that we know it may not be God's plan for us, it may not be God's idea for us, but we so stubbornly want it to happen? Napang kaniyang plan ni God si Matt, like, Lord, no, gahan ko, diri lagi ko, Lord. Lord, you don't know what's best for me, diri ko. Is there something like that in our lives? Is there something in us that's kind of like Isaac? The Lord, I want my plans, my ways. I did it my way, Lord. Imong theme song nimo, my way imong theme song. Isaac was like that. He wanted the certain thing to happen. Now, moving on with the story. In verse 5, it says here, now Rebecca was listening. Parang teleserye na. Nagdunga ni Rebecca because in their time, wala man sila thick walls, wala man sila bong-bong. Tents manila ha, cloth ra. So, nunggukin ni Rebecca. Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, what did Rebecca do? Rebecca said to her son Jacob, so imagine with me, Isaac and Esau are talking, parang Isaac was like, go, find game for me, I'm gonna bless you, you're gonna be the next patriarch and all that. The moment Esau left, Rebecca was like, I have to do something quickly. Ato siyang Jacob, plano po sila iya ha, conspire po sila again, they have their own favorites. Diba? Rebecca favored the younger son. She said to Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare me for me delicious food that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before I die. Therefore, my son, she said, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare for them delicious food. Papa ni mo, gahan mo kaon, sige, ako'y bahalag lutog lami. Such as he loves, okay, I know his favorite food, caldereta yung favorite or whatever favorite food niya, ako bahala na. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. In other words, in this time, Rebecca was like, it's time for my evil plan. Kaplano na si Rebecca, my son, follow me right now. Now it's time. But Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, Mommy, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man. And I am a smooth man. Wow, so si Jacob, smooth, hamis. Parang ma, different kay ko ni Esau. He's hairy. Dad may be blind, but what if father will feel me? Feel niya ang arms na ko. And I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. Kung sakpan ko ani ma, patay ko. Instead of blessing, I'll get a curse. This is a bad idea, ma. But Rebecca said to him, let your curse be on me. Ako bahala. Supportive kay ang mama si Rebecca. Ako bahala, nak. Only obey my voice and go. Bring them to me. You're afraid to get caught? Just go bring the goats. Ako bahala. I got everything covered. So in here, in this part of the story, we see Rebecca. Now, she did not try to convince Isaac about the blessing of Jacob. Several things to notice about Rebecca. She did not talk with Isaac muna. After Esau left, she wasn't like, "Uy, Isaac, nakalimot na ka?" God said it's the younger son that's supposed to get the blessing. She did not talk with Isaac. She did not convince him. And she was willing to take curses upon herself. Only that, but basically she was willing to take matters into her own hands. Parang, oh no, ang blessing ni Lord sa akong younger son, mawala, I need to do something. This is a far cry from the Rebecca a few years ago because it says here, when she was pregnant and nag-struggle ang mga anak inside her, it says here, she went to inquire of the Lord. She was basically a woman of faith, si Rebecca. She went to inquire of the Lord, Lord, why is this happening in my belly? But now, in this situation, when the blessing for her younger son, her favorite son, was being threatened, parang di na mo happen, mapas on na kang iso, she took matters into her own hands. Parang na-forget niya si God, parang, Lord, give me the steering wheel. Ako bahala ni Lord. What was the reason for her deceit again? She wanted to see God's word come true. She had a good interest, but the problem was her methods. She went through the wrong ways, unrighteous ways, through deception, deceiving her husband, conspiring to do all of these things. Rebecca was being deceitful. It goes to show us that even if we have noble intentions, saktong intentions nato, but if our ways are not right, are not honoring to God, then there are still wrong ways. And that's what happened to Rebecca. Now, in verse 15, we get to see what she did for Jacob. It says here, she took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of young goats she put on his hands or arms and the smooth part of his neck, so blanket hair. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. In other words, giprep ni si Jacob. Here's the food. Here's hairs that when he would feel you, he would think that you're Esau. So he went for his father and he said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Verse 19, Jacob said, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said, "Uy, dali na lagi. How is it that you have found so quickly?" Paspasa ko din mo makahunt og kwan. Wala ba tayo 7-Eleven dari? Wala ba tayo fast food? How is it that fast pa sa ikaw makahunt? Makaluto pa, Jude. And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." So, gidamay pa niya si Lord. Basically, he took the name of the Lord in vain. Now, to skip a several verses, basically, si Isaac, he felt the arms of Jacob, and because it was hairy, and he smelled the clothes of Jacob, and because it smelled of Esau and the fields, he really thought it was Esau. He deceived Isaac. So in verse 27, it says here, he came near, kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. He gave the blessing to Jacob. And I didn't get to put it there on verse now, but there's this certain verses that talks about the blessing that Isaac spoke to Jacob about being fruitful, plentiful, of several other blessings. And if Rebecca was there listening sa tent somewhere, sa layo, she was like, "Yeah, my plan has worked. Nakuha ni Jacob ang blessing." But here's the thing. Here's the complication. The third part I want to talk about is the faithfulness of God. Because basically, because of their deception, ni Jacob and Rebecca, they complicated things instead of simply trusting on God. Because they took matters into their own hands. Here's what happened. Verse 31 says here, after Esau caught the game, the wild animal, he also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. After Jacob left, balik si Esau, he brought food and he said, "My father, arise, eat of this son's game, that you may bless me." And his father said to him, "Who are you? La, kinsa ka?" And he answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." In Isaac's mind, ako nang gi-bless si Esau. Ikaw na ako gigamit, na-feel na ako yung hairy arms and all. And then Isaac, says here, trembled very violently. The best I can describe it is imagine someone, a convulse, okay, nag-shake, and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." Basically, Isaac here was like, "Kisa rito ang gi-bless na ako." And he shook violently. And it says here, trembled violently, because at this very moment, Isaac knew and remembered that it was to be the younger son that's supposed to be his heir. If it was not Esau katong gi-bless niya, nakuha niya right away na that must have been Jacob. He was reminded of this verse right here, that the older shall serve the younger. Isaac trembled strongly, or says here, he trembled violently, because at this point, he came to understand that he could not overrule the will of God. He could not circumvent the will of God. Okay, dili up to debate ang will ni God, ang sovereignty ni God. He could not bypass it and say, "Lord, akong will be done, dili imuha." No, the will of God will happen. We can't overrule the will of God. Isaac tried it, but in the end, even if Jacob and Rebecca had to do that deception thing, God in his sovereignty, in his will, made it possible still that Jacob, the younger, would get the blessing. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." And I think this speaks very much of the story that we've been going through these past few minutes. Isaac had great plans. Esau, ikaw mo follow na ako. Itong vision niya, that was his plan, but it's the purpose of the Lord that prevails. Amidst all of that, so quickly, his plan was ended. It's God's purpose that prevails. Chapter after this, in chapter 28, verse 1, we get this a brief description of Isaac naman blessing Jacob. But this time, he knows it's Jacob. Wala siya na-deceive. Because Jacob had to flee after this. Because one, Isaac wanted Jacob to get a proper wife. Not among the Hittite women. But Jacob also had to flee because his brother Esau was angry. Esau wanted to kill Jacob once his father Isaac would be dead. And then by law and their custom, if a son were to do that to his brother, then the next of kin would have to kill that murderer. In other words, for Rebecca, she would lose both of her sons in one day. So she didn't want that to happen. So she wanted Jacob to flee as well, to survive. It's all because of their deception that na broken ang family nila. In fact, this would be the last moment that Rebecca would see of her son. Di niya makita ang son niya when he would return. It says here, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings or travels that God gave to Abraham." The covenant blessing that started with Abraham, passed to Isaac, now Isaac is giving to Jacob. He's passing that blessing na. This time, willingly. No longer in shock, no longer being stubborn with his own plans, Isaac was like, "Lord, it's your will. Let your will be done. I'm going to bless Jacob." In the end, Isaac submitted to God's will with a repentant heart. And I'm sharing this point because as we close, I want to remind ourselves that if you're here today and you feel like, you know what, no, parang ako to si Esau or si Isaac or si Beg, I made mistakes. I feel like di na ako pwede makareceive sa will ni God sa akong life. I've disqualified myself from the plans of God because I did this, I did that. I was stubborn with a certain plan. I traded my destiny for something temporary. Or I forced the will of God to happen. I didn't trust God. Gipugos na ako. Whatever the reasons, whatever the circumstance, whatever the mistakes we've had, church. But the good thing is, God's plans and purposes for our lives is far greater than whatever mistakes we may have. I'm not saying na bahala ng sayop ninyo. No. It says here that Isaac submitted to the will of God with a repentant heart. The key here is repentance. If we want to receive, be a part of the great plans of destinies God has for us, the key there is repentance. We are one repentance away from a breakthrough, from experiencing like the plans God has for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, to remind us, says here, "For we are His workmanship." Again, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. God has prepared something for you to do. You didn't come here by accident in this world, by a bad situation lang, but no. You came to this world with a plan by God, with good works prepared before you, that you should walk in them. God wants you to accomplish those good works He has prepared for you to do. The key there says here that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. How do we experience the plans of God? How do we keep moving in faith? If we want to repent and turn back to God, how is it all possible? It is through Jesus Christ. When we go back to Jesus, repent of our ways, we get to experience the plans of God for our life. Because even though we have different circumstances, church, different seasons in our life, and we may fail and stumble every now and then, we have moments of unfaithfulness and doubt and disbelief, here's the thing, we'll always have an unchanging, faithful God. That's the story of Isaac and the story of the patriarchs. If you look at Genesis and the story of the patriarchs, they were not awesome heroes, faultless sila and all. They were sinners, ordinary men and women whom God used, God blessed. And what we can greatly learn from them is to simply go back to God every time we stumble, every time we fail, and trust in the faithfulness of God because He is unchanging.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.